Please enjoy this ringback tone while your podcast is reached.
This is Raquel and Chelsea, and you're listening to Baroque Bitches. Welcome to Baroque Bitches, your art and art history gossip podcast. I'm Raquel.
I'm Chelsea.
And we're taking this highbrow art and giving you the lowbrow, down and dirty details. Welcome back to another week. We're so glad you're here.
Thank you so much for being here, my God.
Yeah, thank you for being here. Dude. Thank you for being you. I was just telling Chelsea, like, we get a little recap on our podcast hosting site. And we just want to give a quick shout out to our international listeners.
It's awesome.
well, yeah, we appreciate you.
Yes.
If you're in France, if you're in Guatemala, Canada, Germany, Norway, Honduras, UK, Poland, Australia, even somewhere as exotic as Nashua, New Hampshire.
Wow.
We love you. We love all you guys. Slovakia,
yeah.
Italy,
bonjour.
Spain.
Konnichiwa.
Thanks for listening. We're so happy you're here.
Yes. Welcome.
We never thought we'd be so worldly.
We're worldly. Dude, we're super worldly.
No, we are worldly. Whatever. We make the world.
It's awesome.
Holidays are upon us. We had so much fun doing that Christmas episode. Thanks for joining us. I never knew so much so intimately about Santa. Yeah, what a hottie, right? Hottie with a body.
Totally hottie.
Yeah, and now the rush is upon us. Ugh, we hope that you're getting through these holidays just
drink
fine.
Like we do.
Yeah, just drink. I fucking love my kids, okay? Like, I love them. I love
them. We know
them
you love
dearly.
Them. We don't have to say
it. I love them so much, but I'm so tired.
Dude.
Oh, man. It's just so much of my day is screaming inside and smiling on the outside. And it's really starting to show.
Damn. Sounds like customer service.
A little bit, except you like love the
you
thing
love
that's
the other,
you so
the
much,
other side.
So much stress.
Yeah.
We're neurodivergent too. So we have like our own overstimulation things happening like, where we're just like,
but you got to keep your cool.
You gotta keep your cool. So, like, you know, the further he goes, the calmer I get. That's the goal. Not always the reality, but that's the goal. It's like the further, the crazier he gets, the more
disassociating.
Yeah. The more mellow you have to be. You have to be like, all right.
Totally. Okay. All right. No
you're going
problem.
That high. I'm going to go down deeper.
Mommy's here for you.
Mommy's a minute.
Get her mommy juice.
And this kid fucking repeats everything that we do. So, you know, if like we pop off, that's going to be the reaction is like him popping off. Like,
ooh,
you can't pop off.
They're sponges.
They're such sponges. I mean, Fabian said, fucking hell. One year ago, and Diego still says it, and Fabian's
it's his favorite
like,
thing.
Oh, I swear I haven't said it in over a year. He just remembered. I'm like,
I did have it once where it was like, Miss Chelsea, they think I'm either 16 or 60. There's no in between. So they're like, Miss Chelsea, how old are you? And I'm like, I'm 35. And they're like, that's my mommy's age. I'm like, oh, really? And they're like, but you don't really look like my mommy. You look younger than my mommy. I'm like, first of all, do not tell her that. And second of all, it's because they don't have you running around. And then she comes in and I'm just like, dude, if this kid fucking tells her that, do not tell mommy that. She's not going to like that. One kid asked me, you know that these kids absorb every single thing you say because this one kid asked me.
Oh, everything.
Do you guys get benefits? I'm like, how do you know this kid's eight? I'm like, how do you know?
Like, what, why are you worried about this?
My mommy works at Trader Joe's and she gets benefits. You should really work at Trader Joe's.
Aww,
and I'm like, God, maybe I should. I know, maybe I should work at Trader Joe's. Yeah, I don't maybe get benefits. Fucked up. Like, but. You shouldn't know what benefits are. You're fucking eight. Like, don't worry about benefits right now.
Yeah, don't worry about my benefits. I'm not.
I know, but like, they really do. I'm sure their parents were talking about their benefits or something. And the kids overheard some work conversation.
But yeah, having a kid's a trip. He's awesome. It's the best thing I've ever done. It's the best thing and the hardest thing I've ever done. Like, yeah.
So yeah, shout out to moms.
Shout out to moms. There. Heavy shout out heavy to the moms. Heavy shout out. Yeah. And the dads, too.
And dads. Yeah, dads
I read
are
that,
cool.
Like, millennial dads are way more there for their children, which is awesome.
We do some stuff right?
Yeah. Way to go, guys. You're doing it. You're doing a good job.
You're doing the thing.
If you yelled at your kid today, dude, it's okay. There's always tomorrow. You got this.
We'll
just
do better.
Just to go apologize. Apologies go a long way, and they learn how to apologize. It's a strong skill to have.
We're not perfect.
No.
And your parents aren't perfect.
No.
And far from it. Oh, my God.
No. Oh, my God. No. But, yeah. So, well, we've got a really fucked up painter to talk about today.
I'm excited.
This one is gnarly. So, are we ready?
So ready.
To visualize.
Visualization.
Look at that nose. Huh, that petite, pointy, beautiful nose. I mean, just exquisite, isn't it? There are some people that just cannot fathom the way my mind is all-knowing. They were not built of the same caliber as I. I see the beauty in the most vile. I have looked at the faces of death, watched my father languish and decay and walk his mind in circles. I saw beauty in the ability to live and die all at once. But how could they understand when they don't know what I know? I mean, just look at these works, and I assure you, you will understand. I am without a doubt the best painter of my time, perhaps all time. And I see the beauty of what women really are, an extension, a tool that allows my amazing outlet. Even my own mother, she can't understand me. I am too out of reach for her. You see, all beautiful and noble qualities have been united in me. I shall be the fruit which will leave eternal vitality behind even after its decay. How great must her joy, therefore, to have given birth to me, for it is not easy being a genius. So welcome to today's episode, Aegon Sheila, Life Ain't Easy for a Genius Like Me.
Oh, okay. Well, dude. All right then. Are you?
Yeah. So what do you know about Aegon Sheila? I mean, Aegon Sheila.
I thought it was Sheila. Because that's what they said in art school, is a Sheila.
Yeah, thank you, all three male professors at Sonoma State University for being like, you need to look on Egon. Sheila. You need to look at Egon Sheila. You need to look at Egon Sheila. But thank you. I mean, he's a good artist.
Yeah. I know that he has wobbly figures.
Wobble.
And kind of skinny figures.
Super skinny. Emaciated is probably a good word emaciated. To use.
Lots of rib cages.
Lots of rib cages. Lots of naked ladies.
Nude. And I know. I think there's like a stocking thing. There's definitely like some stockings happening.
There's some stockings for sure.
And just flayed out meat curtains. And some good old vaginas right in your face.
lots of vaginas. Right.
Labias.
Labia, minoras, majoras.
All of it.
Labialing all around.
Yeah. Wobbly, emaciated labias would be my first impression.
Yeah. And you know, it's interesting because I feel like, you know, coming at this from as a studio artist, like we both went to school for studio arts and there's some light art history that's required for the BFA and for Chelsea's MFA too, I'm sure. But I remember looking at the work and I never thought like, oh, let me figure out more about who this guy was. And let me tell you, this guy gives Never Meet Your Heroes a whole new meaning.
I know.
Yeah.
Probably some egos.
Oh no,
there.
It's so bad. And we're gonna get into it.
Okay, let's do it.
So, and I watched like 5 different pronunciation videos and I'm still not gonna get it right, but it is Aegon Schiele.
Schiele.
I can still hear the Google Schiele.
Schiele. Our international listeners are screaming right now.
Our Austrian Hungarian listeners.
Schiele.
I don't think we have any in Austria. But.
Okay. Maybe one day.
Let's just call. I don't want to call him Egg because that's my son's name, but we'll call him.
Egg is way cooler than this guy.
We'll just call him Schiele.
Okay.
So we're going to 19th century, early 20th century Austria-Hungary. And this place is a fucking huge at this point. And there's a bunch of different ethnicities. The government tries this thing where they like try to represent multiple different cultures in their government, which basically just leads to unrest because no one feels like they're being represented enough or treated fairly, they weren't.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still, I thought that was kind of cool. They're like, let's try and just like get representation up here.
Yeah.
So there's like a big concern with nationalism. I mean, this is like right before World War I is where the story starts. So, and you could have guessed that probably there would be some nationalism concerns.
There's some spiciness happening. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's a
country's the best. No.
Well, yeah. And like, there's a large disparity between the wealthy and the poor, but Aegon falls somewhere in the middle, like low middle. So Eastern Europe now, like, what's your impression? What do you think?
Eastern Europe, like Yetis and those little nesting dolls.
Okay.
Yeah, and vodka. And vodka neat. I'm like, okay. Party. I'm actually a little bit Polish. Like my
Me too.
Yeah, my but
Świnia Peszkunia. That's like what my mom used to. Świnia Peszkunia means like you're a pig. And for all you Polish people out there, if that's wrong, that's what my mom taught me. So sorry.
But no, yeah, definitely some sausage. Polish sausage is the best sausage. So I don't care what your bratwurst thing is. It's not bratwurst. It's Polish sausage. It's delicious. And Polish vodka is the best vodka. So Belvedere. You got to drink Belvedere. Not Grey Goose. You got to drink Belvedere or Chopin.
I'm not big on vodka, even though it's in my roots, but
it's my veins.
I was thinking more like strong tradition.
Okay, yeah, strong family, that kind of stuff.
Maybe more like conservative in the mindset, right?
Yeah.
And I'm basing this off of like 90 Day Fiancé.
I want a traditional woman.
I'm sure I had like preconceived notions of what Eastern Europe was like before watching 90 Day Fiancé. But because the current season features a Moldovan male who's always talking about like, my parents are from the old way. I think that's like kind of what I. So, anyways, well, then
you're choosing the wrong woman. Then.
But then, right? Yeah. So that's the vibe of this time period, though. It's like in art, at least, like we're
traditional.
Yeah, there's still like very strong movement for traditionalists in art. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, Hitler was very much a fan of those traditionalist works.
I do like Shishkin. Shishkin's a good painter.
I don't know who that is.
It's nature. He's like kind of a lumberjack. He's a Russian painter. And a lot of the Russian painters are like that because contemporary art, like the abstract expressionism, didn't really do much there. I mean, we do have like Mondrian and stuff, which is not really, that's more minimalism, but constructivism, I guess, but they kind of stick with the traditional, rules of the Renaissance, using a plumb line and a fucking stable point.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, I think that like everywhere at this point was like still very much rejecting the, veering away from traditionalism.
Yeah, still within.
And this is sort of like, I guess maybe like what, 50 years into that already? I mean, maybe more, where Impressionists are like 1800s, and this coming off of that. Like it's happening, you know. Mm. It is. It's already there. It's just I still want everybody to know that it's not like it's being widely celebrated. Like, yeah,
people are still confused about Van Gogh.
They don't know what to think.
What? I don't know about this guy. It's too chunky. It's too chunky. I like it.
It's too chunky.
Weird sunflowers. I don't know.
So mom is Marie Sicou, and dad is Adolf Schiele. And she's the daughter of a building contractor, and he works for the railways, which would have been, like, a pretty prestigious job. I mean, it's not, like, lowly, like, a farmer or anything like that. I'm just kidding. I'm just joking.
Shout out to the farmers.
You guys are awesome.
I wouldn't know what to do without you.
We would not eat if you did not exist. I'm just calling out to the Pollock episode. That's all. Right off the gate, this story just gets gross. They were betrothed when she was only 12. Apparently when they get married, she's so childlike that she's still playing with dolls.
Okay, well, I mean, she's 12.
No, she's 17 when they get married.
Oh, sorry. Okay, so she's still kind of in her,
well, I mean, just very sheltered
with dolls.
17,
yeah, you play with dolls.
Playing with dolls,
yeah.
I mean,
It's a little old.
It's a little old.
I don't know. Maybe back in the times, it's like you're gonna be a little girl until you are in your wedding night, and then you become
maybe
a woman.
Just in this family, I don't know.
Yeah.
But so Adolf Schiele, in complete opposite of that, is like visiting brothels and contracting syphilis.
Oh.
So.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Bummer.
So. They get married, and they have the syphilis complicates the pregnancies, and she has probably 2 to 3 stillbirths.
Oh,
I know.
Poor mom.
I mean, syphilis is serious. They test you for it when you're pregnant twice.
Right today?
Yeah, your chances of stillbirth goes up to 40%.
Wow.
If you have syphilis. And guys, if you have sex with people, just go get tested. Like if you're not, you know, in a committed, like long, even if you are.
Yeah,
get tested because this is very treatable.
You don't want to give anyone the benefit of the doubt. Go get tested. Just make sure.
Literally, just some penicillin and you're good.
You're good. Yeah. I know about the syphilis bullshit from Al Capone. Apparently, Al Capone is like really dumb. And yeah, he was like one of the stupidest gangsters. I don't know how he got so famous, but he's really dumb. And this was during the time where syphilis was 100% curable. Like they had penicillin, all good. You can fuck a whore. He had syphilis and just denied it. And it's like, dude, there's pus coming out of your dick. You might want to check that out. Nah, it's fine. And he visited brothels, like he had unprotected sex with hookers, like all the things. And to the point where he would deny it so much, and people were really like, his advisors and his buddies were like, you really need to, we got stuff for that now. He's like, nah, it's fine. And to the point where it affected his brain, because it affects different parts of your organs in different ways. And it affected his brain. So there was some like notable moment where he started fishing in his swimming pool and thinking that he's going to catch fish. And it's all because of syphilis complications that were totally preventable and
they should have just curable. Like, strapped him down.
Just get a penicillin shot. You're fine. Nah. Bullshit. No.
Even in late stages, it's still curable.
Yeah.
Apparently,
no, it's fine. If you get syphilis, it's not a big deal. It's fine.
It just can turn into one.
If not treated. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So go ahead, get tested. Get that shit treated.
Get tested.
Maybe try to use protection. Or at least get tested. It's fine. I'm not going to tell you what to do.
Yeah, we're not your mom.
Yeah.
But like, dude, just
it's
do
recommended.
It,
okay? Yeah, come on. Easy.
So let's see. So his sister Elvira dies at 10 years old of meningitis, which is also a syphilis complication. So Aegon is the only boy of three sisters, two older and one younger. And so he's born June 12th, 1890. So he is an up-down, all-around Gemini.
Floaty.
Gregarious. You know, they're really fun, flirty beings.
What are
they
you
their mind
today?
Mm-hmm. Lots of changing the mind.
Yeah.
In Toln, Austria. So his dad is appointed to like a train conductor job during his childhood, and they live at the train station, and they have housekeepers and a servant sort of situation. And the point is they're like not poor by any means.
Okay.
Like, and Aegon is like really inspired by his dad. He looks up to him. The train thing is like kind of a big deal, I would think. And he loves trains. He's like always drawing them incessantly. Mm. And very early on, it's very evident that he's like a super naturally talented renderer and draftsman.
Okay.
But he's really bad at school, and he's super shy and like withdrawn from others.
Okay.
The only things he likes are art and gym class.
Okay. Yeah.
And so his dad's like, cool, you like to draw trains. You're going to be a train conductor. And he's like, no, I like art.
I'm drawing.
I like to draw. And his dad fucking hates the artist
thing. Of course
he
does. They all do.
Of course he does. He literally sets his sketchbooks on fire. He destroys his sketchbooks in front
of
him.
What a fucking asshole. What the fuck? Come on, dad.
Yeah.
Get over it.
And then he sends him away to boarding school.
Oh, yeah. Okay. And that.
That was a good idea. Oh, you're having problems? Let me send you
Let's
away.
Let's get rid
Go
of you.
Figure it out until you... get it back.
Oh,
never works.
God.
Okay.
Yeah.
So of course that's a failed idea from the beginning. Like if you don't support your kids, it's only gonna get worse.
Yeah, they're just gonna talk about you later in therapy.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I know for a fact.
Yeah.
So anyway, more on that later. But yeah, so let's stop here to start the tea. Because it's constant and it's crazy and it's everywhere in this one. So I hope you just like, just take a little sip.
Yeah.
A little sippy.
A chance to Chile.
Here we go. Yeah. Cheers. You're going to need it. So when Sheila is four, they have his little sister, Gertie, Gertrude Sheila. And Aegon and his sister, like, they love each other, right?
Okay.
But they, like, really love each other, right?
No, 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 no. Okay. That's fine, right? No.
So rumor has it they begin an incestuous relationship at a very young age to the point where, like, dad breaks down doors when they're locked in rooms together.
Oh, my God.
And they're constantly being separated from one another.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so they're doing it. They're doing it. And they're, like, not hiding it sort of deal. Oh. Like, ooh. Yeah.
Okay, that's fucking weird. Okay.
So gross. And one weekend when Gertie is 12, so Aegon would have been 16, he takes her to a hotel for the weekend without permission.
Okay.
From the family.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's that. I'm just going to leave that there.
Oh, no.
So she poses for him in a lot of the early work. And if you look up 1909 Standing Girl, you'll notice something right away that she is naked. So right off the bat here with the news, which isn't super common for the time. And Gertie in this painting would have been 14.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Oh, no.
All right. So and
pretty erotic.
Pretty erotic. So yeah. Mom is not in support of the art thing either. And Aegon is not a huge fan of Mom. I mean, I'd imagine if she's, like, playing with dolls at 17, she's not exactly, like, the mature, nurturing sort of mom.
Okay.
So maybe, like, some lack of nurturing happening. And it's also said that she, like, expects him to kind of, like, be the man of the house. You know?
Okay.
And he's, like, not that. He's like, no, I'm, like, the fragile art kind of type.
Yeah.
Maybe not fragile. Maybe that's not the right word. But he's definitely not trying to be machismo. So.
Okay.
Here's a quote. My mother is a very strange woman. She doesn't understand me in the least and doesn't love me much either. If she had either love or understanding, she would be prepared to make sacrifices.
Oh. What? Okay. Whatever. You don't even get it.
The moms always get blamed for everything.
Totally. It's what so about dad fucking sending you to boarding school and burning your shit?
Come on.
So mom's not doing that. She just doesn't really know what's going on. She's
I think
very
it's just
young.
Like the expectation of the mom is like so much higher than
yeah,
the dad.
Totally.
So mom and dad are not supportive of our young aspiring artist, but daddy is not stopping his brothel habit and his syphilis is getting worse.
Oh no.
Yeah, so his syphilis in its final stages, like Chelsea already mentioned, it gets super gnarly. Like, a lot of your major organs are affected, including your brain. Mm-hmm. You can get rashes. Your eye muscles get affected. So you, like, lose control of your eyes. They start running away from one another. And all these sort of psychiatric disorders start happening, like depression, mania, psychosis, personality changes, delirium, and dementia. So it would have been really impactful to, like, see his father go through this, who he loves. And dad is forced to step down out of his role, and the family goes to Cremau, which is where the mom is from, to help him in the final stage of his syphilis. And it's here that dad tries to unalive himself in front of the entire family.
Oh, no. Okay. Why are you doing it in front of people? Why are you going to do it in front of people?
In front of the kids.
Of course. Okay.
I mean.
Shit.
So that, I mean, yeah, it's like already enough you're watching your dad just literally deteriorate in front of you. He has no idea what's going on. Mm-hmm. And I just can't imagine how, like, profound it would be to witness, you know, your parent.
That'll fuck you up forever, for sure.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
That'll do it.
That'll do it. Yep, that'll do it. Man. And so, yes, yeah, so daddy dies of syphilis complications when Sheila is 15. And we see death and mommy never really loved me come into play a lot in the work and influence later on, which we'll get into. So when this happens, his uncle legally becomes responsible for him. Okay. And Uncle is like still not thrilled about the art thing, but he recognizes the talent and he's like, okay, like let's get you into art school.
Okay, yeah, Uncle.
Yeah, okay. It's dope, right?
Okay, cool.
And at this point, Egon's no longer like a young and shy boy, but becoming increasingly arrogant in himself and his ability. And I think it's like pretty clear from his statutory rape situation with his sister that he can be like pretty manipulative and probably kind of like a total asshole. Mm. And I get it. Like you're a trauma baby, dude. I totally get it. Still not okay, right? Mm. So it's generally widely known that he considers himself to be a genius in the arts.
Okay.
Like, he thinks he just, like, the way he operates, he thinks he's the greatest fucking thing of all time. Mm. And this, at this point, is when his ego really starts building, because he's the youngest artist to go to the Vienna School of Arts and Crafts at 16.
Oh.
So, yeah. And very quickly, they recognize his talent and they send him to the Academy of Fine Arts in Vienna. Wow. And side note, the I forget which school it is, but Hitler applied to get into one of them and was rejected.
Because his work sucked.
Because he was not good.
He wasn't very good.
So remember we were talking about like traditionalist versus like expressionist, impressionist movements?
Yeah.
Well, the Academy's super conservative. Mm. And they controlled like everything that you made, where you showed your work, everything. And he's not getting to do like the expressionistic elongated forms that we know and love today, but more working to like perfect techniques and becoming like a really good draftsman too. So you can see in his works from this time period that he's like very naturally gifted, a phenomenal realist painter, really good renderer, colorist.
You gotta learn the rules before you break them.
Yeah, it's true. I remember when I was a TA in art school, so many people being, but I'm an artist. And it's like, yeah, dude, but like, come on, you gotta like 99% of figuring out what you wanna do is doing shit you don't wanna do. You gotta learn.
Yeah, you gotta duplicate the masters. Yeah. And then tape a banana to the wall.
Okay. Yeah, and then tape the banana to the wall. So we don't really see any of the originality come through yet because it was forbidden.
Mm.
So when he goes to the Academy of Fine Arts, he arranges a meeting with Gustav Klimt.
Oh.
And Gustav Klimt is like a pretty big deal.
The gold guy.
The golden painter.
Oh.
If you haven't seen the movie Klimt with John Malkovich, you should probably see it. It's a very quick way to understand who Klimt is, and it's a very good movie. But Gustav Klimt was a big deal in Austria. He has the like lots of naked ladies and flowers and gold. And at this point, he's like well established as an Austrian artist, and he's a leader of what's called the secessionist movement.
Ooh.
Which is right up Sheila's alley.
Yeah, you can see that it's kind of similar.
Yeah, you can see the influence. Art at the time was still largely funded by the government and wealthy patrons. So this was like a government-funded group that sought after sort of like getting new shit and new ideas into Austria. They wanted to get new art in. And Klimt's work itself was still controversial. People thought naked ladies were like pornographic.
Yeah.
The way
if you're not a, like an
them.
Allegorical figure.
Right.
And you're not an idealized male gaze type of woman, then fuck you.
Yeah, it's
you
so
can't
true.
Have that.
Even today, it's like if someone with like smaller breasts wears a dress, and then someone with big breasts and round curves,
who
like,
wore
he
better?
Wears one, it's like, oh, she bitch. Looks so slutty. It's like,
okay. Think about that just a little bit. You're not allowed to wear that to work, okay? But if I was 100 pounds lighter, would you say that?
Would that still be the answer?
Or is this jarring for you? Is my cellulite jarring for you? That's a you problem, bro.
That's a you problem. Well, these are very sexy paintings, but I don't think like so Klimt's work itself is still like it's considered erotic, and he has a quote, "All art is erotic."
Mm.
And he loves the ladies. Like, he loves the ladies. And so much that he never got tied down to any just one of them. He wants them all.
Gotta collect them all.
But in a very, like, just loves women sort of way. Okay. Not womanizery. Just, like, not loves creepy about it. The ladies.
Okay.
So he's thought to have fathered 14 children.
Oh, no. Wow. Okay.
But he's also incredibly humble. So he has a quote, "I have never painted a self-portrait. I am less interested in myself as a subject for painting than I am in other people, above all women."
Women.
Yeah. So Klimt at this point has already, like, had rejected commissions, and his works have been called, like, pornographic. He's even had his works destroyed. So he's not, like, in love with getting government commissions anymore, and is becoming, like, increasingly interested in being a leader of progressive views in art. So he breaks off from the secessionist movement and, like, does his own thing. Cool. But he's an important player in this story, so that's why I'm kind of diving a little deep. So The Kiss by Gustav Klimt is a super famous painting. Mm. You can see long figures. Mm-hmm. The man embraces the woman's face, and his face is hidden, and hers is, like, front and center at the top. It's loving and passionate and ornately patterned with gold, and her hair adorned with flowers. The man wears a cape covered in, like, hella black and white rectangles, and the woman wears a gown draped in Klimt's signature flowers. So you can see there's, like, a lightness and adoration for the woman. She doesn't appear to be, like, being objectified, just more, like, adored.
It's just, like, a cute couple. Like, aww, it's, like, very cute. Sweet. Stop it.
But it's definitely abstracted. It's not, like, a realistic human form. It's elongated. And so Klimt and Sheila hit it off, like, right the fuck away. And Klimt introduces him to Van Gogh, Edvard Munch, Oscar Kokoschka, and he puts him in a large exhibition with him. So he, like, fucking loves this guy. I just think they're like, yeah, I like to fuck, you like to fuck. Oh, you like women, I like women. Like, let's go. Yeah. And right away we see the influence that that he has on Sheila, like, right away. Like, Egon is fanboying hard on Klimt, and he's sort of, like, in love with his own image as well, though. So he loves being part of this, like, hip counterculture, like, punk rock sort of deal that Klimt is doing. And he's really interested in the unconventional ideas on art and sex. Like, he pretty quickly decides that the Academy is not working out and leaves so he can be free to draw some sexy, sexy portraits and paintings.
Yeah, draw me like a French girl.
Draw me like one of your French girls. there's Standing Girl in Plaid Garment. And this is his sister. She was 14. And we can see the influence of Klimt with the elongated figures in female form and repetitive shapes in her dress, like, right away. The figure is super abstracted and definitely expresses the artist's style versus, like, what she really would have looked like. And Egon's work is less decorative than Klimt's, though. The line work is increasingly important as the contour becomes sort of, like, the subject of the painting. Like, the way it's made is almost more interesting than who is being depicted. And it becomes a very important aesthetic of the work. And a contour line is just a line that follows the actual, like, shape of an object versus what you think it should look like. So, kind of
a fancy word for outline.
Outline, yeah. But, like,
kind of cartoony, but, like, no tones. It's just lines.
It's just lines make up the volume of, like, a figure. So Egon loved a lot of mediums. He would draw, paint, sketch, and he wasn't really fussy about what he painted on either. Sometimes he would paint on boards, and that allowed him to be extremely prolific in what he was making. Mm-hmm. And it's thought that he's made like thousands of drawings and mm-hmm. paintings. So I think sometimes artists can be ripoffs of other artists. And there is definitely work in his archive where it looks like an ode to Klimt. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. But pretty quickly, we do see a break off from Klimt. Klimt, like I said, is really humble. And Egon is not humble at
Doesn't
all.
Sound like it.
He's actually like a complete fucking narcissist. Mm-hmm. And one big distinction is Klimt never does self-portraits. And Egon, by way of comparison, does like a shit ton of self-portraits.
Okay.
So if you look up the Self-Seers, S-E-E-R-S, one. So this is a self-portrait featuring not one, but two Egons. And oh, yeah. Egon thinks this is like fucking revolutionary when he makes it. There's a quote from him when reaching out to an art writer slash promoter. Without meaning to flatter you, I know of no greater Viennese art connoisseur than you. Therefore, I have chosen you to receive my picture from my newest series.
Yeah, you're not going to actually buy it. I'm going to tell you to buy it.
In time, you will be completely won over by it as soon as you begin not to look at it, but to look into it. This is the picture of which Gustav Klimt remarked that he was happy to see such faces. It is certainly the best thing that has been painted in Vienna lately.
I do kind of wish I had a little bit of that. Like,
for
not
that.
All of it, but like a little tiny sprinkle of that just to be like, you know what? I am the shit. You are going to want this. So it is the best thing that's happened lately. So yeah.
I think you do have to stand by your work, but this is like a little bit over the top, right? And it's like, we have this in writing. Like, we have
amazing
this from you.
Wow, okay,
he put it in
he
writing.
Thought he really it's, had something.
It's permanently inked into history now, man. We all know what a dick you were. So self-portrait in black cloak masturbating. So all these titles, man, they're not very distinctive, but self-portrait in black cloak masturbating.
So he's giving it away that he masturbates in front of the mirror. Like, he's the mirror masturbator. Okay, got it.
So here's where we can and here's where we can really see his style of art to take shape. So he's really like the first dude to paint himself naked constantly. And I don't know of anybody else who, like, male, who's constantly painting themselves naked.
Painting themselves nude like this.
It doesn't really, nothing pops into the mind right away. I'm sure somebody is. But so he, you know, has that.
And he looks so gross.
He looks emaciated, So we see this start to happen around 1910. So he would have been around 19 years old. And we see this sort of arrogance taking shape. But he's also depicted not to be, like, super hot or anything. He's sort of always, like, looks like a creature.
He's like Ollum vibes.
Yeah. But it's, like, cool. I don't know. I do like the aesthetic.
I like
it's
it.
Jarring.
Yeah, it's horrible though, but I like it for some reason. That's I guess that's his
but
vibe.
But that's the thing, is like, yeah, that's his vibe. Right?
It's horrible, but I like it.
But so he's building himself in his own image and aesthetic. And I think there's like definitely a conversation of like how he actually feels about himself versus, you know, what the inner turmoil of being human, maybe. The lines speak to sort of anxiety and the harshness of the depictions, might be some self-deprecating of how tormented he might actually be. Like, you know, narcissists can be like very blinded to what others are going through, but also sometimes have like their problems are the biggest problems, right? So there's like an internal angst and shame is the thought, like shame of masturbating, a man living on the outside of society. So
I'm an outsider, and this is just what we
different.
Do.
I'm the most different. Yeah. So he's not. And so the art, like, is not well received, as you could have guessed.
No.
Traditionalists and modernists alike have a really hard time accepting the work because of the gnarliness of it. And also because they're like, dude, you're masturbating. Like, oh,
it's we don't not really. I don't. I like it, but I don't need it in my house. I get that one a lot of my work. I love it. I don't want to look at it every day. I get it.
And remember, Klimt with his nudes is controversial, and Aegon is even more since they're like super grotesque. Nobody wants to see a dude masturbating, right? I mean, that's why it's all like chicks on in porn. Like, it's never about the guy, is it?
No, not really. I mean, maybe in gay porn for sure.
But, well, like, yeah, that makes more sense.
But not in just like heteronormative porn. It's the chick. Yeah,
it's always the chick, right?
And just a big old penis does not have to be attached to anybody. It does not matter who it's attached to.
Oh my god, that's so funny. Oh my god. Oh man. So
Jesus Christ. A big old stick somewhere. Just put it in.
So Aegon even starts his own little like group influenced by Klimt's little art movement, whatever, to try and like get people to like his stuff, I guess.
Okay.
And Gustav and Aegon are sharing everything, like their ideas, their artist tips, whatever. And they sort of have like little renaissance, and they even share models.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
So okay. Aegon meets Wally Knutzel through Klimt, and she, like many art models, came from like a super poor background. She was an illegitimate child. Ugh, I hate that. Illegitimate, like
it happened.
Why do we have to call them that? Like, no. Even if they called them that in history, like, can't we change it now? No, like,
yeah.
Do we have to see illegitimate? Well, anyway, so it was like, and so it was a common thing to have sex with the models at the time for Klimt. Like, we, you know, he's a lady lover, and I think the models like really were into it. And she meets Klimt, and it's thought that they were, you know, doing a little hanky-panky, flingy-flingy.
Okay.
And she would be – she supposedly was in love with him, and she would have been, like, a teenager at the time.
Okay.
So lots of underage sex happening.
Yeah.
He would have been, like, in his 40s.
Oh, God. Mm. No. No. Weird. Nope. Sorry, I don't care what you say.
So then she meets Aegon, and he would have been 21, and she would have been 16. So still, ew, gross.
Still gross. Not as gross as 40.
Not as gross as 40, but it's still gross.
Yeah.
But they fall hard for one another, like hard. And it's thought that she is the only woman that he's ever really loved, even though he was, like, for sure having sex with a shit ton of women. So, so look up.
The seed.
Yeah, I don't know. So look up Portrait of Wally Knutzel. This is one of the more famous works. And in the perspective of Wally, she's like looking up at the viewer, and she has these huge, enlarged, captivating blue eyes. She's abstracted and contoured with fair skin and red hair. And Aegon sort of uses these like blotchy paint fragmented sort of shapes that make up the figure. And it's a beautiful painting, and it exemplifies his unique ability at portraiture, for sure.
Gotta love a sexy ginge.
Gotta love a sexy ginge, for sure. And so Aegon's making a shit ton of work at this point, and Wally does everything for him. She's his manager. She's his promoter. She's his model. She's his biggest fucking fan.
Wow.
Yeah. So this is our second artist that just has a strong woman supporting the shit out of them.
Digmatized.
Digmatized.
That's what we do when you're digmatized.
She's never tired of posing for him and doesn't mind posing naked with other women.
Ladies.
Yeah. So this is where the work becomes like the most stylistically his own thing.
Okay.
And he did not need the ego boost that she gave to him, but she for sure gave it to him. And Wally also inspires Aegon to make a bunch of like even more porny pictures. So she is thought, we don't know too much about her, but it's thought that she was a prostitute before they met and before, like, coming from that poor background.
Sex work is work.
Sex work is work. And, but part of, I think, the reason that she, like, volunteers to do sort of, like, lesbian-y scenes with other women was she was trying to make sure he didn't bone the other women.
Well, if I'm involved, then
if I'm involved, then it's not cheating. Right?
I'll still have a little bit of control.
Right. Okay, so he has a ton of line drawings of girls masturbating, women embracing in the nude, women in reclined positions, touching themselves. And it's all
just a straight vag in your face.
Yeah, vages everywhere.
Yeah.
And it's
very
porny, like very porny. And it's mostly being funded by private collectors who would have loved these naughty, naughty nudes.
Yeah.
These pictures. Like
before,
hey,
they didn't have Playboy.
Yeah, before this is like, yeah, this is probably the first Playboy type of thing. Like, okay. Hey, you got my drawing? You got it?
Wow.
So look up Aegon Scylla, two women. So this painting, it's two girls lying down and their vaginas are like clearly highlighted in the shot. And we're still seeing abstraction and a dark viewpoint. One is Wally Knutsel and the other female almost looks like a lifeless doll.
Yeah.
So Aegon plays with this idea between like life and death a lot and almost women as just like playthings, which is not
objects. Yeah.
It's very much
objectifying. Doesn't matter if you're really living.
Right. Like in Klimt's work, in contrast, it doesn't really feel like women are being objectified.
It's almost like glorified.
Glorified a little bit. Is a better word. Yeah. And these, it's like definitely just like, oh, no, you're just here for me to like.
You nasty girl.
You nasty girl.
Yeah, no, this is very erotic.
It's very erotic. So
Aegon's, one of them is just kind of dead inside.
Yeah. It's
like, oh, okay.
Knowing what you know now gives it a different picture, right?
Yeah.
So Aegon's like, let's get out of the city, Wally. Let's like go away for a little medieval core small town vibe.
And they
go to Aegon's mom's hometown of Cremau. And remember, this is where his dad would have tried to like unalive himself in front of him. So kind of interesting choice, but apparently he like really loved it there. He's like, oh, such fond memories. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. But you know, everybody deals with their trauma differently.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it's like something inspiring about that. I don't know. Or
maybe
whatever. But so they go and they live in this tiny cute house, and this is like small town vibes and in like conservative Austria-Hungary. So, well, this is where shit starts getting weird. So this house becomes sort of like a magnet for lost children of the city.
Okay.
And I don't really know that means. I think it's just like kids just flock there who come from troubled homes, okay. which is never a good sign.
Yeah.
And he's basically hiring these really young girls in their teens to pose for his
groomy
work naked.
Groomy.
Yes. And the word gets groomy, out groomy, very groomy. Quickly because, I mean, it's a small town. And apparently he has models posing outside naked and shit. They're like, dude, this isn't Vienna. Like, go back inside. Yeah.
Especially like really young girls.
Yeah. And on top of that, it's very well known that he and Wally are living together out of wedlock, which would have been like a no-no.
Yeah.
So the town basically pushes him out. And okay. they go to another nearby small town, but he keeps doing this like weird, gross predator sort of shit. And
there's just draw your girlfriend. Don't get other kids involved.
Come on. He's just getting way too cocky at this point.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, you already kicked out of one town. Like, at least keep it behind.
It's really not a good
look. Get some adult models and do it inside.
Right? Like, come on. So there isn't much on this story, but basically there is a story of a 14-year-old girl asks him and Wally to help her get to her grandmother's house. But while they're on their way to the grandma's house, the girl like changes her mind and wants to go back to Aegon's weird, you know, child house with Wally.
Okay.
I don't understand like why. And the dad can't find her, so he reports kidnapping and statutory rape to the police.
Okay. Well, good.
Good, right?
yeah.
So job, the police arrest Aegon and confiscate all of his nudie drawings and they call them pornographic. Mm-hmm. And the charges then for statutory rape quickly get dropped, but not before Aegon had spent 20 nights in jail. And the only thing he gets charged with is exposing a minor to porn. And then he spends 4 more nights in jail.
Okay.
But so many of his works were destroyed. And the judge even lit a work on fire in front of him, supposedly.
Just lighting shit on fire.
So lots
of Austrians, that's their thing.
Lots of works getting destroyed in front of him to be like, stop it. Stop making these weird, porny drawings.
Don't do it.
So that just kind of shows how controversial he was to the point of like the works getting destroyed.
I mean, there was this one time I got pulled over because I was parked outside of my job and I was smoking weed and a cop came through and I was like 16 and a cop came through and she made me cry and then she made me break my pipe right in front of her on the ground.
That is so
break
weird.
Break it on the ground. Of like
that's just like a weird power play at that point.
Just
like,
take it. You can take it. I already to break it on like, the why ground.
Do you have to, like, why do you have to?
Someone
shame
has
me?
To clean that up too. Like, there's a bunch of broken glass on the ground now.
That's so annoying. So weird.
And then I went to like this drug education class and I learned so much
about how to hide
about
drugs.
Different drugs. Oh, I didn't know you can huff that. Okay, great. <God. laughs> Anyway.
So let me see. Where was I? So, okay, quote. So, I do not deny that I have made drawings and watercolors of erotic nature, but they are always works of art. Are there no artists who have done erotic pictures? So, he definitely doesn't think he's doing anything wrong, and Wally is, like, supporting him through all of this. And I definitely get, like, an aiding and embedding sort of vibe, right?
Yeah.
So, after the whole arrest thing, he really is not doing too hot. With the selling of the works.
Okay.
He stops painting children altogether.
Okay, we're good.
And he gets a little bit more like, what am I doing with my life?
Existential crisis.
Yeah, and he meets Edith Harms. So when he meets Edith, she's from like a more acceptable background. So all of a sudden, you know, being the Gemini that he is, he's like, Wally, you know, the prostitute thing is not working for me anymore. Not acceptable.
Oh my God.
And yeah. And so when he tells, he's such a dick. So when he tells Wally he's going to marry Edith, it gets even worse. When he tells Wally he's going to marry Edith, he brings a letter to her and he's like, I'm going to marry Edith, but you and I can go on vacation every summer together without Edith.
Okay. Because that's a great deal for me.
Fuck you, you fucking motherfucker. Piece of shit. And she gets the fuck out and they never see each other again. And she dies a few years later of scarlet fever.
Oh, sorry, dude.
Yeah. So,
bummer.
See. So yeah, he meets Edith Arms, and she's from like a bougier family. It's definitely like a social upgrade for him. But it doesn't stop him from fucking her sister.
Not the sister again. God damn it! The sister again. You guys. Okay, if you're going to cheat.
With the guys. If you're going to cheat, don't do it with the sister.
Don't keep it in the family.
Or the brother or the cousin.
No. None of it. We don't want to Jerry Springer this right now. Come on. Go find someone else then.
So look up Sitting Woman with Legs Drawn Up.
Okay.
These fucking titles are so dumb.
Okay.
So if you look at this, it's like a figure with the stockings that you were thinking of. And
another sexy ginge.
Sexy ginge. The legs are drawn up and her vag is just like right there.
Plap.
Front and center, right in the middle. So,
all right.
So right at the start of the marriage, there's already, you know, a very specific tone set. But things take a turn pretty quickly, and Egon gets drafted into World War I 4 days after he and Edith get married. And he's drafted, but not in like a fighty sort of way. It's more like he's working at depots and making drawings for the army. So we get these portraiture drawings of like Russian prisoners, because he was also like a guard of Russian prisoners and depots, and they're pretty cool. But
I mean,
like,
that's a good job to have in World War One. World War One was fucking shitty. Like,
it's not like the most. Yeah,
you don't want to be in the trenches and getting fucking mustard gas.
He's definitely like
draw
like
some people.
He's definitely, like, his hands are not getting dirty.
Okay, good. Yeah, he wouldn't be able to deal with that.
Yeah, and so he's still able to, like, make some works, which is pretty cool. Yeah. And if you look up a portrait of Edith, so any portrait of her, you'll notice that she's oftentimes fully clothed. She's not objectified in
classy.
Any way.
Very classy.
There's nothing really that sexual about it at all. Mm. And it's now, you know, from these nudie, porny, objectifying women sort of paintings, this is now going towards like an more intimate moment and appreciation and lovey sort of viewpoint.
Getting back into like Klimt vibes.
Yeah, getting more like familial, getting more like
settling down.
He's settling down. God. So after this, he does gain some like notoriety in the art world. He's starting to show with Klimt again. He's getting more and more respected, and he's starting to actually make some like money.
There you go.
And then, so if you look up the family, 1918. So this would have been one of his last paintings, and here we see his style. Oh. Fully developed. There's debate whether the female is Wally or Edith, but either way, neither one of them is the model. Okay. Edith was pregnant at the time with what would have been their first child. Mm. And you can see it's not like a sexy naked portrait by any means. It's just like, you know, a
They
Tuesday
happen to be naked.
Right. It's like, this is like the real look of a family. This is like a Tuesday,
yeah.
You know, at, like at the end of the day, everybody's just mangled. Like, yeah. Done, just
chilling.
Super tired.
Weird.
Yeah. And the child in it would have been his nephew with, you guessed it, Gertie's son. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah. So after this, a Spanish flu epidemic hits.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And Edith is 6 months pregnant when she contracts the flu.
Oh, no.
She dies, and Aegon dies 4 days later.
Oh, man. Okay.
Yeah. So he was only 28. He was really young.
Wow.
And the last drawing is a drawing of Edith. When she's sick in bed. And there, you can actually see a picture. It's super morbid, but you can see a picture of him deceased in the hospital bed. I know. So, you know, he, like, it's one of those where you're like, fuck, I like this guy. Yeah. Oh, what do I do with all my feelings, right? Mm-hmm. And there's a really good debate. If you haven't gone to girlmuseum.org, it's a really cool website. You should check it out. And it's exactly how it sounds. It's just like a bunch of girls in a museum. And it's like all about promoting women. And there's a good debate in there because basically all these women, these children that are being depicted, the legal limit at the time would have been 14 for consent. So there's a lot of modern day arguments of like, well, this was normal. You know, it's normal to, like, you know, fuck a 14-year-old. That was the legal age limit. And in there, it's an article that's like, you know, it was, but there's a reason that it's not anymore.
Yeah.
Because people inherently must have known that that was too young to be able to consent.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I can imagine, like, I was 14 and I was not even, I was not ready for that, especially from an adult man. Like, no.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You gotta know. It's not chill.
I mean, you know, and it's okay to acknowledge the talent of artists that you like. But I feel like there's this constant environment of, like, having to justify the person's personal actions.
You don't have
order.
To.
And you don't have to.
Yeah.
Like, it's okay for him to exist as socially unacceptable and still like his art.
There's talent. I mean, there's a lot of talented people that are bad people.
Yeah.
But they're talented. I mean, that's fine.
But they're talented, and the work is good.
Most of the people that we talk about, I feel.
Yeah, that's actually true. The pedophilia part does sort of ruin the nudes for me, but, like, I can still appreciate the aesthetic and impact that the work had. It's certainly, you know, undeniably beautiful and influential.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there, you know, a lot of people are influenced by Aegon Schiele. David Bowie has an album cover that that looks
like a Schiele style.
Like a Schiele.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And his works sell for multi-million dollars, sort of like Pollock, you know.
Totally.
They're very coveted. Yeah.
Bunch of tattoos.
Yeah. One of our art professors had an Aegon Schiele tattooed on his arm, which makes you so wonder.
We can get a whole episode on that.
Yeah, we could do a pod on him.
Yeah, the police might come, though.
Oh, no. So, person at the party. I love this one. Gwyneth Paltrow.
Well, yeah, she does have the vagina candle. So of, like, my pussy candle smells so good, your house should smell like it.
She's just so far. She's so far removed from reality when she talks about herself
her
and that
bone
whole
bra.
Her bone bra. She said, like, I'd rather smoke crack than eat cheese. What the fuck? Oh, jeez. I mean, I don't hate her, but I kind of hate her.
Come on. That is so It's so crackling. Yeah.
She's just, I mean, just so far removed from reality of herself and thinks she's like amazing, mm-hmm. which I did like Sliding Doors and I did like Shakespeare in Love. No, and I like the movies that she's in.
She has good movies. Shallow Hal.
Shallow Hal's a great movie. I hope you like Bean Dip.
Such a 2001 movie.
Actually, it's a really bad movie.
It's horrible, but it's funny.
It's a really bad movie. I take it back.
No,
it's
that is pure millennium fat shaming of absolutely no qualms fat shaming people. Well, I just remember too of just like who's the fucking Bridget Jones? Is that what it is? Where it's like,
oh yeah, I just watched that movie. I love her, and she's like 134 pounds, and she thinks she's like super fat.
Fucking kill somebody to be 130 pounds. I've never been 130 pounds. Maybe when I was a child.
We're embracing self-acceptance as we are.
Yeah, that's just like, I mean, no wonder.
We're embracing rotundness, remember?
Yeah.
Didn't you learn anything in Santa episodes?
I know, we love Santa. that's why we're everyone that is over 25 has a fucked up relationship.
That's why all your body images come from.
Things like Shallow Hal. Yeah, and Bridget Jones and fucking everything. So many fucking things.
Yeah.
But okay, Gwyneth Paltrow. Yeah. I do want to smell the candle, though, I got to say.
I don't.
I want to smell that badge. It must be amazing. Well, she's got the crystal egg.
$100 candle.
Oh, yeah, it's so expensive. Yeah, Goop. Is that what it is? Goop?
Yeah.
Of the little pussy crystal that you put up your vag. It's like an egg. And it's like, okay, it's probably $70. Throw it up your vag.
Throw it up there.
You're supposed to like do Kegels or something with it.
Right.
It's like, you need this because your vag isn't tight enough. Actually, it's not as tight as mine.
Listen, if I learned anything in pelvic floor therapy, it's that you got to lengthen before you strengthen. And a lot of us have very strong. Yeah. So your pelvic floor is what helps, you know, keeping your tight pussy, whatever. But we all do Kegels. So
I'm doing it right now.
I'm doing it right now too. But think about if you had like your bicep, like, you know, like the strongman pose.
Okay.
You can't build your muscle without extending your arm. You have to extend your arm. You got to lengthen the muscle before you strengthen it. So, yeah. So there's a lot of, a lot of ways to lengthen before you strengthen.
Okay, so everybody out there, go ahead and lengthen the pelvic floor.
Before you strengthen.
Okay.
But yeah, so that's Aegon Schiele. I hope you liked it. And
yeah, I mean, sorta.
I mean, it's definitely a juicy one.
I did not know any of that stuff for
non-stop.
Sure. So now I know.
Nonstop.
Yeah, nonstop drama. Wow.
Yeah. So thank you all. You know what we're going to do? I think we're going to put up a little voting situation on the gram so you guys can vote on who you'd like to hear about. And maybe we'll do that way. So look out for that. Look out for our Patreon. Yeah. Go be a patron.
Yeah.
Help us quit our day jobs.
Oh my God. That'd be so nice, you guys.
Do it.
Then we'll have so much more
one
juicy.
Of us.
One of us. Go and join our cult.
But thank you for, as always,
thank
for listening.
We love you. Bye.
I got 6 tears, 9 to 6 eyes. I got a garbage brain driving me insane.